We always encourage you to do that, but in particular, make sure you have your Bible out and turn to the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. How do we not look at the Christmas story today? How important this all is. And once again, as I often do, I encourage you, don't let the familiarity of it keep us from the blessing of it. What an awesome, awesome thing we're celebrating and remembering. And so I pray that God will find us doing as the shepherds did, rejoicing as they considered that. And if sometime during this time of my sharing, if you should find yourself not being able to contain an amen or a hallelujah, it will be allowed. Indeed, I strongly encourage it. And not just here, but always. Think about what we're going to consider. You know, this week will contain some great meals, visiting with family and friends, football games to be watched, all kinds of great things. But nothing comes close to what we're looking at this morning. Now, I don't know if there's a particular gift that you are hoping for under the tree. Maybe some of you are just hoping there'll be some kind of gift under the tree. What with the economic times, what they are. But certainly remember back as a child, those times you just, you dropped all those hints and you're just hoping, hope I get it. Is there a gift that you're hoping to receive? You know, there will be many gifts exchanged this week, given and received. And that's fine. That's great. Some of those gifts will actually be wanted. Some gifts perhaps not so wanted. Some gifts we'll wear or we'll use and we'll be really happy we got them. Other gifts will wind up in the closet or in the dresser or perhaps back at Walmart by the time the week is over. Because that's just how it is. A lot of gifts given. But this morning, on this Sunday morning, we're going to look at a gift that far surpasses every other gift that ever could be given. I'm drawn to the words that the angels declared to the shepherds on that night so long ago. We're in chapter 2 here of Luke. Go to verse 10. I prayed. I've been thinking about this all week. Lord, what would you have me share? And I'm just drawn back to the Christmas story. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The message from God, the gift given. The tag on it reads, "To you, from God, inside a Savior." What an awesome, think about it. Good tidings of great joy. What is it that should lead to this great joy? Born to you this day, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't ever get used to that. I reflect back on how very lost I was, dead in trespasses and sins, and you were the same. Who are we that God would care for us like He does? And yet, here's that message for you, a Savior. See, that's what makes it such great news. God knew our real need. You know, you might open a present and go, just what I wanted. Sometimes we even say, just what I needed. But really, there was one need that only God could meet, and He did. God knew our need, and He gave it, the answer. So we join with Apostle Paul. Remember in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." In Matthew's account, it says, "Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light." God has shined His light. And here we are. I called our time together this morning just on that simple, basic, yet so important truth. What's the message? To you, a Savior. Let's pray. Father, in this time and in this place, slow us down, Lord. Shift our thoughts off of things purchased, things yet to be purchased. Meals to be planned and prepared, gatherings to go to, all these things, Lord, all have their place. But in this time, Lord, draw all our hearts, all our minds, all our attention Take us back. Take us back to that truth, that gift that has changed everything for each one who's received it. Lord, when we think of that awesome declaration, to us, you have given what we really needed. Life. Forgiveness. Thank you. Help us now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. It may be a fresh time in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. To help us kind of shift gears and think about what this season's about and think about this morning's message, we invite you to look back up at the wall. We're going to take a little video to help us to kind of travel back and consider the best gift ever given. If we could show that.
Few would have considered it a silent night, a holy night. Travelers jostled in the city gates. Weary fists pounded on closed doors, pleading on the outside, arguing from within, all to the same refrain, no room. Among the houses rang raucous Roman laughter, census takers with comfortable quarters and plenty of food and wine. There is little peace and less goodwill between stranger and villager here. Somewhere a dog barked, a lamb bleated, a woman moaned, and a baby cried. Out on the hillsides, exposed to the cold night, without even a stable for warmth, shepherds huddled around the fire, guarding their flocks against thieves and wolves. Suddenly, a light to split the darkness, a voice, a song, a chorus of angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a son, a shepherd, a king, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Awaken, O little town that cannot sleep. Hear the shepherd's words. The angel's message. And arise to a sound unfamiliar. The triumph of joy.
The video is just driving home the fact that there's supposed to be an end result. A response on our part, but let's make the journey again. Let's go to our text, Luke chapter 2 this morning. In the opening of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, there's the account of Jesus' birth. Verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." God had arrived. For what end? For what purpose? Verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Can't understand why they'd be afraid. I mean, well, you know, isn't this just a normal everyday occurrence? No. God has arrived. And angels, this first angel appearing to proclaim an awesome, awesome message. Jesus' birth was not announced to religious, political, or military leaders. God announced it to ordinary people going about their ordinary job in their ordinary ways. He broke through what was seemingly the ordinary with a message. And who did he pick? Shepherds out in a field. Why shepherds? We're not told why. The text doesn't tell us specifically. But it is pretty awesome just to be able to consider that God chose to announce his arrival not just to rich or to the famous, but again, to just some lowly shepherds in a field, perhaps to show us that Jesus is for everyday people doing everyday things. I pray he's broken through into your life. I pray he's gotten your attention and that you've responded. But the message here It shows us that the good news is for everyone. And what is the message? Verse 10. God gives the angel the commission. The angel shows up, verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Don't be afraid. We can be a people so afraid. We are people afraid of failure, afraid of rejection. We're a people that can be afraid of death. We can be afraid of life. So many fears and anxieties, afraid if we're going to make it. What's tomorrow hold? God sent his answer for fear. Don't be afraid. For look, behold, the angel says. And what's the remedy? What's the cure? I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Good tidings of great joy to a world very much in need of both. For you'll never really find anywhere around us truly that which is the heart's need. To all people, he declares. And that leads us to our focus. That which I was drawn to, you know, in preparation for this morning, of course, early in the week, I began to pray and read various accounts and look at commentaries and all. And of course, there's no shortage of things written about Christmas and all. But I kept being drawn back to verse 11. Just that Christmas message. May we just soak in it once again. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There it is. The good news. There is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. See, that's the central point of it all. Everything hinges on this. God came. And it's very specific on both sides, isn't it? Born to you. Not just some kind of a general, warm, fuzzy feeling kind of announcement, but no, angel says it's for you that this is happening. To you, a Savior who is Jesus. Notice the you in all of this. In verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which would be to all people. Verse 11, there is born to you this day. See, the Lord came humbly, meekly, and he came personally. Why? For you. For you and me. And if that doesn't cause awe and wonder in you, then I don't know what will. Go look in the mirror. Just think about it a moment. And then think about this. And it hopefully will place in all of us a new sense of awe and wonder. Man would not have set all this up this way, would he? If you were given a job, if God said, "Hey, I'm going to visit the planet, and I want you to plan how it's going to go." You go, "Oh man, this is going to make the Olympic opening ceremonies look like nothing. I'm going to have fireworks. It's going to be written across the sky. This will be spectacular. Everybody will know about it." But God said, "No, I'm going to come as a child. A baby laying in some hay." One commentator put it this way, "The great God emptied himself. He let in the light as our eyes were able to bear it." If he pulls back the curtain to heaven, all of us are, who can see God and live? So he came as a baby to walk amongst us as a man. Christmas invites us to celebrate the greatest gift ever given. Isaiah proclaimed it. Remember, hundreds of years before, Isaiah had said, "For unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Look at those words. See, on our side, a child is born. But make no mistake about it, it's not just a child. Every birth is a miracle and awesome. But this one, well, from God's side, unto us, a son is given. The child that is born was the Son, second person of the Trinity, the Son that was given. But why? Who for? Unto us, unto you a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Remember our text this morning. To you a Savior is born. It's popular to proclaim that Jesus is the reason for the season. I declare it. You probably have. We wear the buttons that do that. It's appropriate and good. I understand why we do that. We try to declare and remind people for the real reason for the season. Because in this commercialized world, where people have turned Christmas into so many materialistic and just weird things, we say that Jesus is the reason for the season in an attempt to get people to focus their attention on the one whose birth we're celebrating, the one who it's really all about. And so we declare Jesus is the reason for the season. A good, appropriate, good, I do it, you do it, keep on doing it. However, when it comes to why there is a Christmas, consider this. I was listening to a pastor. He was at the mall, he said, and he saw a young lady in a sweatshirt, and on her sweatshirt it said, "I'm the reason for the season." Well, the pastor got pretty upset about that. He goes, "Yeah, I bet in your life it probably is. And you're missing what it's all about. And now I bet you've got your rich dad treats you like the princess, and you've got all these things." And he was all just grumbling about this and the attitude people have and what this young lady had on her sweatshirt about it. And he's walking along when he all of a sudden really felt God strongly say, "You know, she's got it right in a way." Now, not that, I mean, in her case, she might have had it all wrong, but the idea is just this. Why is there a Christmas? God didn't send his son for his son. God sent his son for you. To you, a Savior is born. We are the ones who needed a Savior. We're the ones who need Christmas. We're the ones who God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. He's the answer to our need. So in this context, we are the reason for the season. We are the reason there's a Christmas, because we needed a Savior. That's the awesome good news. To us, a Savior. Think about it. What if this message said this? Look at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "You better be afraid. I bring you some really bad news. God is going to fry you. God is mad at you. He's out to judge you." See, that's what we used to think, and that's what the world sometimes acts like. But that's not the case. That's why the angel's saying, "Hey, good tidings of great joy." You know, I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said, a lot of people can declare the gospel better, but no one can declare a better gospel. And that's what I feel like this morning. Oh, someone might be able to declare the Christmas message better, but no one can declare a better message. This is the most awesome message ever. Unto you, for you, personal, a Savior is born. And now look at the description here of this gift. What'd you get? What's the gift like? Well, let's read about it. There's born to you this day in the city of David. And notice three descriptions now. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ, Lord. All three are descriptions of the gift. First of all, it says Savior. Savior is a word that means a deliverer. You'll remember, I think last week I mentioned this fact, but just to remind us, the Savior's name is Jesus. That's the name as it comes to us through the translation to the Greek on into the English, Jesus. But if you were walking around in Israel in that day when Jesus was walking around, you would not have heard people say, "Hey, Jesus, come on over." No, his name in Hebrew is Joshua. It's a contraction of the Hebrew names, declaration, Jehovah is salvation. And they contracted that, Jehovah is salvation, and there's Joshua. And then through the Greek comes to us as Jesus. That's his name. These are titles. These are descriptions. These are what's in the gift for each of us. Let's look at them. Jesus, He is Savior. Again, it's a word that means deliverer. Matthew 1:21 told us, "She shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So his name speaks of his mission, why he was given, what this gift has for us. Jesus describes, because, you'll name him Jesus, because Jehovah is offering salvation. He will save his people from their sins. So the first thing that describes this gift is that he is Savior. The second description the angel makes sure we understand says he is the Christ. Christ is the translation of a word that meant the anointed one, Christos. He is the anointed one. Christ wasn't his family name. Their family name, it wasn't Mary Christ, Joseph Christ, and then they had their son named Jesus Christ. Christ wasn't the family name. Now, we've come down through the ages, we've contracted it, but really it's Jesus the Christ was how it originally was. He's Jesus the anointed one. He's Jesus the Messiah, the answer to the prophecies, the answer to the prayers. What they've been looking for is the declaration there. That's the idea. He's Jesus the Christ. So he's the deliverer. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, and it says, the Lord. That's a word there that points to his divine nature. He is indeed God incarnate. God became man. Funneled down into a little baby is the idea. So the angel is trying to make sure we understand what's in the gift. Who this is that's there? It's Jesus, and he is Savior to you. He's the Messiah, the anointed one, the answer to all the prophecies for you. He is the Lord. He's God. God came for you. See, verse 11 here is really the pivotal verse, the key verse for us. To you, born to you. That's personal. And what's the message to you? That there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. He came personally because he has to be received personally. What he came for must be acted upon individually. He came personally because we need a personal Savior. We need our sins personally dealt with. The good news is that Jesus is the gift we really, really did need. You've read this before. I'm going to put up on the overhead here. We used to even have this on a little plaque type thing in the children's ministry. I don't know if it's still over there, but you've read this. Maybe you haven't, but either way, worth considering again. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. To you, a Savior. Oh, I know the world says, we need money. No, not in the long run. Well, pleasure. This world lives for pleasure. Nope. Never going to satisfy. See, God, if we really just needed some technological answer, that's really what was the bottom line issue. God could do that. God could come right now and tell us something about atoms and nuclear stuff or things they haven't heard of and tell us, oh, wow, change everything. New source of power, whatever. He'd do that, of course. But he loves us too much. Is no, your long-term need, your eternal need, what's going to change your destiny, what's going to bring hope and life and peace, what's really going to cure your fears, what's going to give you purpose, is a Savior. For in receiving him, you'll find peace and hope and life and purpose. That's what's going to calm our fears, that God is for us, not against us. He sends this gift because it's what we really, really need. Gifts come wrapped up in all kinds of ways, don't they? I mean, there could be some gifts that are wrapped up so fancy. I mean, they got the bows and the paper and glitter. I mean, this, you know, awesome, and other gifts are maybe not so fancy, especially if I've wrapped it. Or maybe it's just gifts can be wrapped in all kinds of things. And again, maybe someone else could wrap the gift in a sense, some fancy way, but what's inside, you'll never surpass. Whether it's declared from a great cathedral or in a field with some shepherds, that's what matters. And that's what you have offered to you. But you got to receive it. You got to open it. You got to act upon it. Make sure you have. Verse 12. Let's see what happens next. The angel says, "And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." A sign. Not asked for, yet given. A sign. Why? For assurance. Hey, go look at this. You'll see it really is from God. Go look. Go check it out. You will find. See, Jesus is the sign. It's not, again, not a sign of some kind of great wealth or power, the pomp of royalty and all. Just a baby. A baby by all outward appearances, but a baby on a mission. For across the manger looms the shadow of the cross. It's all to save us. Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" We hear this and we go, "Oh yeah, that's pretty cool." The angels watch it and they're just going, "Man," they're just singing, and the host is declaring, "Glory to God in the highest." And we go, "Yeah, yeah." May we get as excited. May we. Glory to God in the highest. Look at what a choir. What a choir the shepherds heard that night. This army of angels proclaiming the good news. Look at this. What's their message? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Two parts to the awesome heavenly anthem. First, glory to God in the highest. The angels knew who the author of it was. There's no glory to man in this. Man didn't earn it. Man doesn't deserve this. It's a gift. Not something earned. It's the free gift that's given. So no attention here is focused on man's efforts. It's God who's done it all. He set this up. It's God reaching down to man. Think of how the angels must have been in awe of what was happening. Watching God the Son funnel himself down into a little baby, laying aside all of that which he had in heaven to become a baby. So, of course, there's a glory to God in the highest heavens is the idea. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There is some discussion among commentators on how that should be translated right there. Some would say that it needs to read, "On earth, peace to men of goodwill." Others, it says it should be, "On earth, peace to men to whom God is pleased with." Perhaps your translation, if you have a different one than I'm using, says something like that. So all these different ideas on what it should read. All I know is this. For those who receive Jesus, he ushers peace into their heart, into their life. Peace with God. We can now have the peace of God. Oh, man. I know what it's like to be without peace with God. I remember. But God broke through and settled some issues, settled eternity. And that person received Jesus as Savior, who truly opens the gift by opening their heart, receiving it. Then and there, they are at peace with God. Verse 15, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste." They acted on it now. Not manana, now. "And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him," it wasn't seeing Mary, it wasn't seeing Joseph, it's when they had seen the babe, when they saw him, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." It's about the baby. "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. How will you leave here this morning? What's verse 20 say? Then the shepherds returned, yawning and saying, gee, that was kind of an interesting service. I wonder what's for lunch. How will you leave here today for having considered once again these truths? It changed them. It should change us. Change them forever. It's done the same for us. This morning I'm struck with a real sense that just as it said on the video and just as the text tells us, there's supposed to be an end result here. They heard the angelic message from God Himself. They heard the content of it. To you, a Savior. They responded. They acted upon it. They didn't stay put. They didn't say, well, that was nice. So, and get back to chit-chatting. They took off and they saw. They responded. And the result? Glorifying and praising God. See, we're on this side of the manger. They had to go through the process. We're on this side of the manger. We're on this side of the cross. Does it find us glorifying and praising God as we approach Christmas, and really every day? To you, a Savior. Don't miss that word. The great joy rests in the fact that Jesus the Savior has come for us. The word Savior implies we need saving. And we did. And if you haven't received Him, you still do. But that's the good news. You can. You see, even in the announcement, again, the shadow of the mission that Jesus is on is right there. There's a cross up ahead. But not just that, there's an empty tomb up ahead. He does get the victory. He does rise again. He conquers death, conquers sin. You can't separate Christmas from Easter. It's all part of what He did. It's all part of the gift. It's the whole gift. See, this baby is destined for a cross. Jesus came to give forgiveness of sins to all who receive what He did on the cross. But you must do it. Don't think it's just about warm, fuzzy feelings. Don't think it's about just cookies and good meals and all those things. They have their place. But that's not what it's about. Jesus is the reason for this season. And from His side towards you, you're the reason for it. You got to do it. If you haven't received Him personally, you'll miss the whole purpose for Christmas. The shepherds left the manger. Look at verse 20. What did they do? Glorifying and praising God. Why were they doing it? For all the things they had heard and seen. Believer, do we have any less reason than they did? Has a son been given to us? This is where you say yes. There you go. Has a Savior been given for us?
Yes.
There you go. But let's do as the shepherds did. Glorifying and praising God with our hearts and our words and our lives. But Dale, Pastor Dale, I've got problems. I understand that. Life can have many a problem. Big problems. And God's not making light of your problems, and I wouldn't either. But please, don't take this wrong, but do you not think the shepherds had problems? They were people, just like us. And this life, you haven't discovered it yet. If you've been around very long, you have. Has problems. There are storms. There are trials. We're not home yet. This isn't heaven. I know it's a news shock. No, it's not a news flash. We're not home yet, and there's storms in this life. Again, I'm not making light of them, but the shepherds were just regular people like us. You can believe that some of them had health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But the events of this night get their perspective straight. And in the midst of all their problems, they were able to rejoice, glorifying and praising God, because God has done something that overshadows it all. Changes everything. Gives us a hope, a future. We can know what we're about and where we're going. Fears. The answer to our fears now has been given. What an awesome message. The answer for everything. Fears, trials, storms, problems. The answer has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I'm going to invite the worship team up. As they come up, though, I want us to slow down for just a minute and think about what we've heard. Have you opened the Christmas gift that it's all about? Perhaps you're here visiting. Perhaps you're in town visiting family, friends. Perhaps you come here regularly, maybe for years. But can you point to a time when you specifically opened the gift God wants you to, calls you to, says you need to? Have you?
Yes.
You have to make sure you do it. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'd be remiss to say to you, hey, God's giving you a gift. Can't have it. No, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Maybe you have received that gift. You sit there and say, yep, I received Christ as Savior. What have you done about it? What response has it found in you? There are gifts that are given that, yeah, we open the gift, but what do? As we said earlier, we put them on the shelf. They go in the back of the drawer. Never going to wear that sweater. What have you done with Jesus? You were excited once, but have you drifted? I'll give you a chance to recommit today. To recommit to the real reason there's a Christmas. It's for you. So we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Father, we choose to slow down now and make sure. Father, you did all this not so there would be a holiday on our calendar. Father, you did all this not so we get a day off from work or something like that. You did it because of our need. But Lord, the gift is not, it doesn't fulfill its purpose until it's opened, received, acted upon. Lord, in this time, speak to hearts, we pray. While all our heads are bowed, we simply want to extend to you what God extends to you, and that is the invitation to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. To receive in your heart that which He has done for you, the real purpose, the reason why we are celebrating that there is now life and forgiveness available. If you can't point to a time you specifically did that, then we'd like to invite you now to do it. Don't think that, well, I go to church and I've been good, or that's not opening the gift. That's not receiving it. You must personally confess that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner, but He died for your sins. And ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your heart. Again, to open your heart. Open the gift by opening your heart to Jesus today. While our heads are bowed, is there anybody who would like to do that? I invite you right now. We're not trying to embarrass you, but you know what? Your friends won't. They won't laugh. They'll rejoice. They'll be laughing with, in the sense that they'll be rejoicing with you if you make that decision today. Is there anybody who needs to make that decision? I invite you to stand up and come down front here. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Is there anybody that would like to make that decision today? This is the time to make sure that you've received the reason for this season. If after our time you realize you haven't made that and you want to do that, go see a prayer partner. But now I speak to you, believer. Are you full on for the Lord? Can you say that, yes, I'm as excited about and walking in and cooking like I used, more and more so? Or would you have to say, I've taken the gift what God's given me, and truth be told, I've put it on the shelf. Do you need to come back? Do you need to recommit? Do you need to repent and turn around? Then we're going to give you that opportunity. If you're here right now, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. Stand where you are. Just stand where you are. If you're a believer, but you recognize the need to come back, to recommit. Not to get saved, but to rejoice in the fact that you are. And to say, I need to come back. Are you a prodigal? Needs to come home. I'm kind of fighting the lights. I can't see. I don't see anybody standing. Is there anybody? Well, the rest of you believers, just go ahead and just be in prayer right now. But if you recognize you need to recommit, great. Okay, I see a couple of you standing. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Time to enjoy and celebrate and all. Just receive. It's time to recommit to the gift given. Great. A couple more of you. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Good, good, good. Okay. All of us, while our heads are bowed, let's pray for these that have stood up. God knows what it represents to you. He knows where you've been, what you've done with that gift, but He loves you. That's the message. And by your just standing, hopefully you're saying, Lord, I put the gift aside, but I want to open up again to all of it. I want all that you have for me. I'm here to come back. I'm here to recommit. Whatever it might mean specifically to you, let me pray for you right now. Father, for those that have stood up, you know them. They're yours, but they're confessing they have drifted. Or they've got back into the driver's seat instead of letting you have that. Whatever it represents, whatever's gone on, you know, Lord, but they are standing now. They're asking. They are praying. They're seeking, Lord, for that fresh work. Lord, let the truth of what we're celebrating, that to us a Savior is born, Deliverer, Messiah, the Anointed One, God Himself, you for us. Lord, help each one that has stood to now just give you the driver's seat again. Help each one that has stood to just turn it all over to you right now. Help each one to have a new sense of joy and as they remember and celebrate what it is you've done, Lord. We lift them to you, and we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.